Yud Shabbat, Monday the 21st of January, Rabbi Yitzchok Breitowitz, the Exodus from Egypt as a paradigm for spiritual liberation.
Good morning everyone, and Baruch Hashem, it's a wonderful thing that you start your day with Talmud Torah every morning, and I hope it does have a positive influence on everything that you do. We know that these parshios are the parshios of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we know that one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is that once a year we are mechuyev to have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the night of the Seder. In Chutz Laaretz twice a year, but the mitzvah is once a year, the 15th of Nisan. And that is called Sipur, and that is derived from the verse, V'igadata levincha b'yomahu lemer, you should tell your child on that day that because of the miracles that Hashem did for me, we were zoche to give thanks and gratitude to Him. Now, we also know that there's a daily mitzvah every single day of the year to mention the Exodus. That is called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is derived from another pasuk, Laman Tiskor Es Yom Seischa Me'eretz Yisrael Kael Yemei Chayecha. There's a machlokes. Is that mitzvah only in the daytime, or is that mitzvah also at night? That's a famous passage in the Haggadah, and we, of course, paskin, it is a chiyuv in the day and in the night. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the famous Rav Chaim, used to ask a question that he would point out at the beginning of every Seder, and that is, given the fact that the nusach of the Haggadah is not codified by the Torah itself, the Torah does not mandate a specified nusach. The Torah simply says, talk about the Exodus. And given the fact that even if there would not have been a special mitzvah of Sipur, you would have had to mention the Exodus anyway because of the general mitzvah of Zechira, what is the Torah adding in terms of Sipur that would not already not have been subsumed under the mitzvah of Zechira? Now, obviously, Zechira doesn't require the whole Haggadah, but Sipur also doesn't require the whole Haggadah. That was the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Even if there wouldn't have been a mitzvah of Sipur, I would be mechuyev to talk about the Exodus the first night of Pesach, the same way I'm mechuyev to talk about the Exodus every night of the year, according to Ben Zoma. So Rav Chaim would be masbir that there are four structural distinctions between the annual mitzvah of Sipur and the daily mitzvah of Zechira. And those structural distinctions are the basis of how the Haggadah was composed. Distinction number one is Derech She'ela U'tshuva, and that is the whole year, I just talk about Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim, that's enough. But Pesach night, it must be done through a process of question and answer. And the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that even if you don't have a child that's asking you the question, you are mechuyev to do it derech she'elu tshuva. By the way, from the Gemara, it's very clear that the well-beloved manishtana is really a fallback position, meaning optimally a child or an adult should come up with their own questions. Nebuch, if they don't have questions, we give them the manishtana as pre-digested questions. And in fact, I remember once I was at someone's house many years ago for a Seder, and the children were asking questions about the Haggadah. And the father was a bit impatient. The father says, you know, stop asking questions. We have to go vayicha with the Seder. You know, it's kind of missing the point a little bit. So, element number one is she'elu tshuva, right? Element number two, Rav Chaim says, is what the Mishnah calls maschil bignus u'misayim b'shvach. Meaning, the whole year, I just talk about ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotseisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Pesach night, I have to begin with the bad. Again, I'll go back and explain the significance of all of these elements. Element number three is the statement of Rabban Gamliel, who says, "Call me Shalai Omar, Shalaisha Devarim Halalu B'Pesach." Anyone who does not explain three mitzvos, the Korban Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror, Lo Yatsa Yedei Chayvasai, has not fulfilled his mitzvah. Now, what mitzvah hasn't he fulfilled? Pesach, Matzah, Umarar, Gufa, he has fulfilled. Those are mitzvahs of eating. But the Rishonim all say he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the Sipur must be integrated with an explanation of Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. Right? So that's a unique aspect of Sipur that does not exist with Shechira. And the final one that Rav Chaim mentioned, his son, the Brisker Rav, Rav Elbel, used to say that this was the most difficult mitzvah of Pesach, which for a Brisker is an amazing statement. If one is aware of the great difficulties Briskers have with getting rid of chametz and baking matzah, one would have assumed for sure it's getting rid of the chametz is the most difficult mitzvah. He says, no, the Brisker Rav says, the most difficult mitzvah is Rava's statement, or the Mishnah statement rather, Chayav Adam, Lirais Esatzmo, Ki'ilu Hu Yatsa Mimitzrayim. A person must regard himself as if he personally was taken out of Egypt the whole year. It's Zechira, commemoration, memory. Pesach night, it is experience. Now, Aliba the Emes, the Rambam makes the mitzvah much easier. The Rambam has a slightly different girsa in that passage of the Haggadah. And by adding one letter, it changes the whole message. The Rambam's girsa is not Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo. The Rambam's girsa is Chayav Adam Laharos Esatzmo, which means a person must behave as if he was liberated, and that is fulfilled by Haseba, by reclining, by Dalet Kosos. So according to the Rambam, it's not such a difficult mitzvah, because it is simply a behavioral mitzvah. And indeed, we engage in many behaviors that show that we are free men. But according to our Girsa, it is not simply an externalized behavioral mitzvah. It is an inner existential state in which I must feel I personally have been liberated. And that is a unique aspect of Sipur that does not apply to Zechira. So Bekitzer, Rav Chaim identified four distinctions between the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach Leil Pesach and Zechira. One is She'elo Tshuva. The other is Maschil Bignus Misayim B'Shvach. The third is Pesach Matzah Maror. And the fourth is Chayav Adam Liris. What is the significance of this? Going back to the topic of a paradigm for spiritual liberation. So let's start with element number four. And I'm going to do a little bit of a cross-cultural analysis here by using a thought of the Sfas Emes to kind of shed light on Rav Chaim's four definitions. Again, I hope both of those Gedolim will forgive me for doing so. Yeah, but here is the thing. Let's start with number four. Each person, because that's going to be the key to understanding everything, each person must regard himself as if they themselves were personally liberated from Egypt. In what sense is that true? Is that simply a game? Is that simply a pretense? I was not a slave in Egypt. Now, do not confuse this with an earlier statement in the Haggadah, that if my forefathers wouldn't have been redeemed, perhaps I still would have been a slave. That's simply saying, I'm grateful for what Hashem did for my forefathers, because otherwise I might be suffering. But later on, we're making a much more extreme claim. You must regard yourself as if you were a slave in Mitzrayim. How is that shaykh? So the Sfas Emes tells us that we have to understand on a deeper level what is Mitzrayim. Certainly, as believing Jews, we believe that our ancestors were physically slaves in Mitzrayim. That was a nation. They enslaved us for 210 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, B'yeser Makos, B'kriyas Yamsuf. And that literal part of the story is Chai V'Kayam and is absolutely true. God forbid, I'm not at all suggesting that Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a historical fact. It certainly is. But the Sfas Emes says Mitzrayim also has a double meaning. The word Mitzrayim is not only a nation called Egypt, but Mitzrayim is that which constrains and narrows your ability to function in the world. When David HaMelech turns to the Almighty in a time of great distress, David HaMelech says, Min ha-meitzar karasi ka. I call out to God from a meitzar, from a narrow, confining place. Seen in this way, the Sfas Emes says, every single person has their own inner Mitzrayim to contend with. A person might have a Mitzrayim of jealousy, of sinas chinam, of egotism, of anger, of depression, of lack of hope. All of this is a Mitzrayim. of the Taivas of Olam Hazeh. And the Sfas Emes says, the spiritual koach that Hashem puts into the world around Pesach time, but also Bezir Anpin, in a smaller microcosm, during the Parshios of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where the Hashpa is Yitzias Mitzrayim, is a spiritual koach Hashem puts in the world that enables each and every one of us to become liberated from the Mitzrayim that is within our own personalities. As the old saying goes, it might be easier to take the Jew out of Mitzrayim than to take Mitzrayim out of the Jew. Each of us has our own Mitzrayim. So as a result, when you study the Parshios of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are two different things that are going on at the same time. There is the historical story of our emergence from slavery to freedom to become the Am Hashem, which is the national story of the creation of the Jewish people, in which the Torah requires that we communicate that mission and that message to our children. But then there's a more individualistic, private, idiosyncratic message, in which I try to tie my own inner Mitzrayim to that struggle and recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the Bria a spiritual koach that allows me to be liberated, on the coattail, so to speak, liberated from the Mitzrayim within. And that is the meaning, the Sfas Emes says, that each person must regard himself as if they themselves were taken out of Mitzrayim. Identify the Mitzrayim within you, and then seek to connect to the koach of Yetzias Mitzrayim to become liberated. Now, if we understand that, that can actually explain the significance of all the other elements as well. Because essentially, you can then look at what Rav Chaim defined as the structural elements of the Seder, as ways in which we can achieve a liberation from our own inner Mitzrayim. So let's take element number one. Derech Sheila U'Tshuva. Questions and answers. This is suggesting that the first step to achieve spiritual liberation is the willingness to ask questions. Now, you know, someone once asked me, is this, you know, whenever someone says a Dvar Torah, it always starts off with a question. Somebody once asked me, can't you just say a Dvar Torah without asking a question? Just say something. Why do I have to ask a question? But the answer is, you know, a question opens up the door. A question means I want to understand something. I want to move myself further than where I am. I'm here now, and I want to go beyond. That is why a person who is learned in Torah, fascinatingly enough, is called a Talmid Chacham. Now, Talmid Chacham actually is a term that you can actually translate two different ways, fascinatingly enough, such a common term. A Talmid Chacham might mean a wise student, or it might mean a student of the wise. But either way, it's interesting that the very term we use for a learned person is the willingness to keep on learning, to be a Talmid Chacham. Because as long as a person is in a modality of wanting to continue to grow, to ask questions, then there's a lot of hope that he will find the path in life that he's supposed to go. When a person stops asking questions, then the person is no longer, the person kind of limits himself to where he is now and is not seeking further growth. That, in fact, is a very big nafkamina between the Chacham and the Rosh. Everyone knows the famous four sons. And everyone asks the Kasha. The Rosh is called a Rosh because he says, Ma ha'vayda ha'zeis lachem, why do you do it, you and not me? He excludes himself, and therefore he is considered to be a Rosh. And everybody asks, well, the Chacham asks a fancier question, the Eidos, the Chukim, and the Mishpatim, but he also says, Hashem commanded you. So many, many answers. This is like one of the most famous questions where he says, Hashem Elokeinu, etc. But Rav Avi Yosef, and he should be well, says a very simple response. Although, unfortunately, it's not in the Haggadah itself. If you look at the Pasuk of the Rosh, Ma ha'vayda zeis lachem, it starts off with the words, Ki yaimru aleichem b'nei. When your son tells you, with the Chacham, ki yishalcha bincha. There's no such thing as a bad question. Questions are fine. But does your question have a question mark at the end? Or does it have an exclamation point? Is one asking a question, or is one making an attack? The nafkamina between the Rasha and the Chacham, Ravadja says, might be in the way that they're making their assertion. The Rasha is not asking at all. The Rasha is simply making a statement that creates rishus. So Sheila Tshuva says that the Iker in our own Yetzias Mitzrayim is asking, learning, seeking to grow, seeking to change, seeking to go beyond the paradigm, understanding, as the saying goes, that life is a journey and not necessarily a final destination. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, where we're going to end up is up to Hashem. We don't really know. But at least we have to start the process of journeying. That is She'elo Tshuva. We then come to Maschil Bignusim Misayim B'Shem. You got to begin with the bad. Now, why is there a halacha? You have to begin with the bad. So I'll give you two reasons. One is a simple, true reason, and the other is a bit more complex. The simple reason is that it's the nature of human beings that we don't appreciate blessings in life until we remember the other part. We don't appreciate health, unfortunately, until there's illness, etc. We don't appreciate material prosperity unless we've suffered deprivation. We don't even appreciate political freedom unless we've lived under repressive regimes. That is why someone who came from Nazi Germany or the Holocaust or any, you know, something like that, appreciates a free society much more than those of us that had the privilege of being born into a free society. So the pashtus is, in order for us to feel grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for freedom, we have to go over how bad the slavery was. That's a valid reason, that's a true reason, that is human psychology, unfortunately. But it's a problematical reason at the same time. Because, after all, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who put us into the slavery. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, in effect, be grateful. You should have been there 400 years. I took you out 190 years early. Be grateful. But I can say back, but you put me in there for the first 210 years. Why am I so grateful about that? So the deeper understanding must go beyond that. The deeper understanding must be that it's not simply I'm grateful for the freedom and I have to remember the slavery in order to appreciate the freedom. But on some deeper level, the slavery itself is part of what we are grateful for. To see not only the light at the end of the tunnel, but to see the light in the tunnel. Now, in what way can we be grateful for the slavery? Well, I'll just give you one example. Again, this could actually be a talk in and of itself, but I'll go over fairly quickly. The Torah says, you shall love the ger, love the stranger, love the converts, because you were strangers in the land of Mitzrayim. The Torah, in effect, is telling us, remember the days of your poverty, the days of your suffering, the days of your oppression. Remember when you didn't have land and you didn't have power, and use that as the source of the empathy and the compassion and the rachmanis you have for the outsider. And we could talk about the fact that even Jews who have moved very, very far from the Derech HaTorah have in our very DNA the notion of compassion, sometimes misplaced. Indeed, I know in Eretz Israel, right? The Jews are, there are Jews who talk about compassion for Palestinian terrorists. Misplaced, wrong, but coming from a good place. Comes from the heart of a Jew that feels the pain of all who suffer in the world. Whether it's apartheid in South Africa, civil rights, whether it was even Jews who became communists, again, an obvious mistake, but they came because of their heart. And this was a kinyan, the idea of a Yid being a Rachman, and what we got it from Avraham Avinu, but Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, translating it to our own inner Mitzrayim, the lesson of Maschil Bignus is to see the redemptive potential, even in the adversities and setbacks in life, and to understand that even when life gives us difficulties and challenges, we can have the eyes to see the gifts that Hashem has given us to make us stronger, to make us better, to make us more noble. And that's a second step in our personal Yetzias Mitzrayim, to be maschil bignus, to understand that a tzara is not just a hechi timtza to have a Yeshua, but within the tzara itself, there are Yeshua's gedolos. We then come to Rabban Gamliel, which is really three things in one. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Lo Yatzah Yedei Chayvase. How do we personalize this? So let's start first with Maror. We eat Maror to remember and experience the bitterness of slavery. Well, what this is telling us is that the first step towards your personal Yetzias Mitzrayim is to know that you have a Mitzrayim. If a person lives in a state of denial, if a person doesn't know or doesn't understand which midos need to be corrected, what in my life is not working properly, if a person is not makir mariros in an honest, courageous way, then there's no way you can leave. You cannot leave the state of slavery until you acknowledge that you are a slave to something, whatever that something is. So Moror is the cognitive acknowledgement of an avdus within my panemius, which requires a tikkun. But Moror is not enough. A person might go to psychoanalysis for 50 years and understand every trauma that they've experienced in their lives, and indeed even prenatally, you know, what happened in the second month of pregnancy or whatever it would be. But lamaisa, that's where we then come to matzah. We know that everyone knows that one of the familiar understandings of matzah and chametz is puffed up, it represents arrogance, gaiva, conceit. Matzah is flat, it represents humility. But the Maral gives another message to chametz and matzah. The Maral says that chametz represents what you might call inertia, because when water hits flour, you don't have to do anything to make it chametz. It will become chametz by itself. Chametz is the default setting of wet flour. Matzah requires decisive action in a timely manner to arrest the process of fermentation. And that is why chametz and matzah have the same letters, except matzah is a hey. A hey is a ches that's nipped in the butt, so to speak, because the left leg would keep on growing and you cut it off. So what matzah teaches us is this. Insight is a wonderful thing. Maror is insight into my spiritual condition. If I don't have that, I don't know where to go. But matzah says, you got to do something about it. You can't just cogitate. You can't just think. You can't just analyze. But you have to take decisive action. Right? The difference between a behavioral therapist and a psychoanalyst. You don't simply understand, but you act. And the truth of the matter is, even if it's a small thing, because all of us have moments of inspiration in life. It might be after Shabbos, after Yom Kippur, a Pesach Seder. It might be watching our children grow up, or a daughter or son getting married. Whatever it is, there are moments of hiskarvus to Hashem. But if you don't concretize it in terms of doing an extra mitzvah, the inspiration just dissipates. It goes away. But if you concretize it, then it becomes mitzvah gereres mitzvah. It makes you stronger inside, like a bridge. The great, great bridges that span bodies of water start off as a single cable that is thrown across the distance. And that cable is strong enough to hold another cable. Now you have two cables. And then you can add all sorts of things eventually. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Now you might ask a little kasha on this. All right, so Maror is identifying my slavery. Matzah is taking action. Now you might think, if that's the case, we ought to eat the maror and then eat the matzah. Right? Because how can I take action before I know what I have to correct? So Aliba de Yemes, if you look at Rashi and Arvei Pesachim, Rashi and Arvei Pesachim actually says that the Iker mitzvah of matzah, we're Mekayim with the Afikomen. So according to Rashi, the mitzvah of maror we actually do before the mitzvah of matzah. So of course, the obvious kashan Rashi is, why do I make a bracha al achilas matzah earlier, if it's only hamotzi? Okay, but putting that aside, though, I would suggest that even under the conventional understanding that we fulfill matzah first, one might suggest that psychologically, before you're supposed to concentrate on your failures and on your meriris, you need to know that you have the koach to make positive changes. So I need the message of matzah before I confront Maror, in order that Maror should not destroy me, take away my confidence, plunge me into depression. Right? I need to know I have the power to change before I delve into what needs to be changed. Right? Psychologically, there's a reason for that. And then finally, we come to the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach is a unique Korban. It's a machlokes in the Gemara, but the Rambam paskins that the Korban Pesach cannot be brought as an isolated individual. That even if I have a big appetite and a small lamb and I could finish the whole thing myself, I am mechuyev to be part of a chabura, whether it's my family or attach myself to another group of people. Ein sheichtin es ha-pesach ala yochid. And that's an important lesson in religious life, that in order to achieve our own Yetzias Mitzrayim, we cannot do it as individuals. We have to connect to chaverim that have the same goals, right? It says in Pirkei Avos, k'nei lecha chaver, acquire for yourself a friend. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes, there are three reasons why a person needs friends in life. One reason is utilitarian. If I don't have any friends and I lose my keys in the middle of the night, like, who do I call? It's good to have somebody you can call. The second reason is social. Human beings get lonely. We need companionship in life, whether it's our spouses, Reyim Ahuvim, right, their beloved friend, whether it's a friend, whatever it is. But Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam as well say that although utilitarian and social concerns are important, but there's a third reason that's the most important of all, and that is with a friend we have what is called a spiritual camaradership. In other words, each of us work together to help each and every one of us become the best person we're able to become. And that is what Shlomo HaMelech is merames when he says, Tovim hashnayim min ha'echad, two are better than one, because if one person falls, who will pick him up? But if you have two people and one person falls, the other can help him. That the purpose of real friendship is not simply to kill time, although that may have a certain role in relaxation. The purpose of real friendship is to help each other grow in Torah and Avodah and Mitzvahs, to become the best person we're able to become. And that is how we achieve our shlemus in Avodas Hashem. Baruch Hashem, like a chabura like this, I think is a very, very excellent and wonderful example of the type of true chavrshaf, the type of true friendship that leads to Avodas Hashem. So Bekitzer, going back to my topic, the Exodus as a paradigm for spiritual liberation. We start from Rav Chaim's number 4. A person must identify their own Mitzrayim, and then tap into Yetzias Mitzrayim as a koach that Hashem will give us to be liberated from that which constrains us and that which liberates us. And all the other steps are amplifications of that idea. Be willing to ask questions, to go beyond where you are. That's Sheilu Tshuva. Maskil Biknos, see the redemptive potential even in adversity, disappointment, and failure, because that will ultimately make you stronger than even successes. Successes confirm us in where we are, but challenges call upon us to move beyond where we are. Pesach Matzu Moror. Moror is the honesty to acknowledge my shortcomings. Matzah, the imperative of taking action. Pesach, the need to find a community of chaverim that share those goals. So as I say, although much of this is more nogeya to Pesach itself, but in these parshios, the koach of Yetzias Mitzrayim is here, b'zeir anpin, in a microcosm. May all of us be zeichet to tap into those koachas. Have a good day.